As we had a chance to sketch out earlier this morning before we went down to the Beis Medrash, we want to understand Simchas Torah more deeply based on the two big sugyas of Simchas Yontif, the sugya of Katan and the sugya of Pesachim, because as you mentioned in Moshe Sternbach, we will see as the sugya unfolds and unfurls, Moshe Sternbach thought that Simchas Torah is very beautiful but should also be in Isser Chamer. Why is that? So officially, Maseches Beitza is about the halachas of Yom Tov. Maseches Moed Katan is about the halachas of Chol HaMoed. That's why it's called Moed Katan. And as it happens, the three prakim of Moed Katan, the third parak ends up being largely not about Chol HaMoed, but about the halachas of Avelos, because of a connection between Chol HaMoed and Avelos. The Mishnah is getting to discussion of Avelos, and the Gemara is getting to discussion of Avelos. The first two prakim are Chol HaMoed, but even in the first two prakim, here we have a din that, as we'll see, might be more a din of Yom Tov than a din of Chol HaMoed, as we'll see that practically speaking, it's a din of Chol HaMoed. Ein nos of Noshim b'moed, Mishnah on the bottom of Ches, Amud Beis, Maseches Moed Katan. The second Mishnah, Ches Amud Beis, Ein nos of Noshim b'moed, lo besulos, lo almanos, v'lo b'yavmen. Now I get married on Chol HaMoed, neither a first marriage nor a second marriage, even if the second marriage specifically is a Yibum, getting married on Chol HaMoed is a problem. Why? Because it's a Simcha. That's supposed to explain why this is Aser. Aval Machazir is Grusha Sal. However, if it's not only a second marriage for the chas and a second marriage for the kala, but they were previously married to each other, a couple get divorced and then succeed in rebuilding their relationship with one another on a firmer, healthier footing, and they marry each other once again, so that sort of marriage is mutter on Chol HaMoed. Rashi says there's less simcha. Ain't a simcha kol kach. There is simcha, and we daven and pray that they did important work in terms of their relationship with one another, and that they'll be able to look back in decades from now with great nachas to the day that they began their relationship a second time. But in the moment, it is a simcha, as Rashi says, but it's not as exciting an event as if this husband, this man, this woman are marrying each other for the first time. And if there's a lot of simcha, so then it's a problem on Chol HaMoed. Why is this? Why is this? That's what Gemara says. I understand. It's a very bizarre thing to say. You can't do it on Chol HaMoed because it's a simcha. Really? You shouldn't sing zmiras in Chol HaMoed. And Chol HaMoed, if they should simcha hilo. You shouldn't have baster v'yayin in Chol HaMoed. Meish ha-simcha ilo. Adarabba, you're supposed to have simcha in Chol HaMoed. Why is the fact that it's a simcha a reason not to do a Chol HaMoed? If anything, I would have thought fakari. It's the ultimate Chol HaMoed trip. You go ahead and get married, no? And then, wouldn't that be the most amazing thing to do a Chol HaMoed? Yeah?
It's like separating your mind from like the
real. Oh, very good, very good, very good, very good, very good. So Eitan says, well, the Eitan says the Gemara's first answer is a long list of names. Many different Amoraim seem to be involved in this idea. Amar, Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Nechen Amar Belezer, Rav Shaya, Darmila Amar Belezer, Amar Chanina. And the following viewer in why a Nosim Nashim Moed is attributed both to Amoraim in Bavel, like Shmuel, and the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, like Rabbi Hoshaya, Rabbi Chanina. Because you cannot mix one simcha with another simcha. You can't mix one simcha with another simcha. Avad, to have simchas yantiv is gevaldik. But to mix in a different simcha, to mix in the simcha of a wedding into a simcha of yantiv, that is a problem. Who said that that's a problem? We'll come back to more of the Gemara in Chesed and Beis. But for now, who said that's a problem? So that's the Gemara asks on Tesam and Aleph. Six lines from the top. Where does this come from? So who can tell me? How do we know that Ein Ma'arvin Simcha v'Simcha? Who says it's wrong to have another Simcha coincide with your Simchas Yantiv? What does the Bavli say? Shlomo Melech. Where did you hear this pasuk recently? Oh, I learned it. This marriage, right? This is Haftarah Shmini Atzeres. The Haftarah Shmini Atzeres is a more or less a continuation of the Haftarah of the second day of Sukkot. That's right. There's a little bit missing in between, but both are drawn from Parak Mizayin Ches of Sefer Melachim. Shlomo HaMelech completes the Beis Hamikdash. In the Aftar, the beginning of Parakas, the Aftar of the second day of Sukkot, you hear about some of Shlomo's Tfilos. And the beginning of the Ashura Sashchin and Beis HaMikdash. And then Shmi Atzeres, and the reason why this is Aftar Shmi Atzeres, you hear about what? You hear about the final completion of the whole situation and the incredible Simcha, the incredible celebrations that they had. It says it was, let's see, Dichziv. Vayashle, we are on top of Tesam and Aleph. Vayashle, we say, he is a chug. Chol Yisrael imo, kahal gadol milavok hamas at Nachal Mitzrayim. The Jewish people came, all 12 Shvatim, from the entire expanse of Eretz Yisrael, from Levok Hamas in the north, all the way down to Nachal Mitzrayim. Achlok is whether Nachal Mitzrayim is a reference to Wadi El Arish, or whether it's a reference to the where the Nile meets the Mediterranean, which is much more territory. But whatever it is, either the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael or among the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. So Jews came from the north, from the south, from all of Eretz Yisrael. All the 12 Shvatim came together, which at the time was still a little bit of a Chiddush. That's what Shaul had begun to do and David HaMelech had completed. Bring all the Shvatim together, and now Shlomo is building that. All the Shvatim come together to the Beis HaMikdash. And they're celebrating together. They have a chag. Lefnei Hashem Lokeinu. Shivas Yamim, the Shivas Yamim. Arbas or Yom, 7 days, another 7 days, for a total of 14 days. The Pesukim can go on to say that afterwards is the Yom HaShmini. So obviously that's a reference to Shmini Atzeres, because otherwise the day after should be day 15. So what do you see from this pasuk for our purposes? The Gemara says in the first white line, how do you see Ein Ma'arvin Simcha V'Simcha? Because why didn't we overlap? Why do you have to have 7 days of celebrating the Chanukas HaMikdash and then another 7 days of Sukkot? Just wait until Sukkot. Why would you wait until Sukkot? Why would you wait until Sukkot? Why should you wait? Want to do it right now? So cheaper is one answer, but it's very clear that cheaper. And I'm going to have a general principle, and yes, Malkam Hashiras. We don't skimp at the Beis HaMikdash. And specifically in those psukim, it's very clear that Shlomo Melech's celebration, there was no aspect of economizing. He was not seeking to economize. So that, in some cases, would make sense. But that's not what's a play. What are we saying, Nathan?
Everyone's coming for
Sukkot anyways. Good. Difficult to be away from home for 2 weeks. Good. And why is it difficult to be away from him for 2 weeks? In part because Tosa says, the top Tosa in Testament Alp, Ibaile Lamintar Arachag, he should have waited, why he should have waited. Says Tosa, the Kadeshal is Batu Yisrael. People have to go to work. That is a Jewish value. We are pro people working for a living. So sometimes you have to take off work for whatever it is. You take off work for Yontif anyways, why would Shalom Melech cause people to lose an extra week of work? Plus, the Gemara goes on to say later, later on the Amud, if you do the math, if they were celebrated the Miluim, the Chanukas HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon for 7 days, and then immediately after 7 days of Sukkot, that means that one of the 7 days of the Chanukas HaMikdash was Yom Kippur. The Gemara goes on to a very famous Gemara later on Tesam and Alv, that they were celebrating and eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. And some people were a little worried about it, and then it turned out that was the right thing to do. For that year, that was appropriate, that the Chanukas HaMikdash superseded the tightness of Yom Kippur. But that's shocking. So why not wait? Why not wait? So the Gemara says, why? It seems like Shlomo HaMelech was going out of his way ensure that the Chanukah's Hamikdash would not overlap with Sukkot. Why? Why? So the Gemara says, because Eimar b'Simcha b'Simcha. So the Gemara says, we'll go straight. Iva Dilma, the Gemara says, that's not such a, that's, the, even if it's true, the Shlomo Malach was trying to avoid the overlap, that's not quite the same as here. The Dilma Minterlo Natrinon, the Hecha de Esrami Abdinon. Maybe you shouldn't say that. Notar, Nun Tes Reish, is a very important shorsh, as an aside. Nun Tes Reish in Aramaic. It's the same as Shomar in Hebrew. In all the different senses of Shomar. Both to guard, to be a Shomer, but also Aviv Shomar Sardavar, to wait. So that's what the Gemara says. Maybe Mintar Lo Natrini, you shouldn't wait. If it comes up, it comes up. In other words, it's not right to push it off until Yom Tov. But if the best time to get married, it wasn't shayach to have the wedding until Chol HaMoed, maybe I should be allowed to have it on Chol HaMoed. Okay, can't push it off to Chol HaMoed. But who says even if Hecha de Isrami just works out that way? But then the Gemara says, it sounds almost like the, you know, reminiscent of what some people do, the engineering that some people do towards the end of Tammuz, the beginning of Av. Well, the Gemara says, "Bailei l'shayuri purta." So, yeah, but he could have left over if he wants to have a siyum of the Beis Hamikdash on Sukkot. So you leave over the last few lines, leave over part of the construction, pause the construction, and then complete it on Chol Moed, or right before Yom Tov, perhaps. So the Gemara says, no, Shayure Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Lomi Shayurin, you can't not build the Beis HaMikdash, you can't leave over. It's a mitzvah that rises, to build the Beis HaMikdash, also the mitzvah, Shachanti Besocham. You don't have the right to delay the mitzvah. It may take years to do the mitzvah, but you can't artificially pause it if you have the opportunity to go vayta. The Gemara says, well, they could have left or something that's not as significant. Ibar Lishayure Ba'am Akalya Orev. They have something on top. You often see in buildings, matter of fact, some see at the Kotel also. They have like spikes or something to keep the birds from landing on that spot. So they had something like that on the top of the Beis HaMikdash also. So Gemara says, that's not really Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But still it had to be done. So why not leave something like that over? And that's how you're going to artificially delay Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And I said, no, that's also Tzarech Binyan HaBayisu. Amakaya Orv, also Tzarech Binyan HaBayisu. Okay. So where are we at right now? The Gemara says, look, it's true you have a pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech, but on the other hand, it's not the best proof. We're trying to prove that Ein Ma'ar b'Simcha b'Simcha. The Gemara says, yeah, but that doesn't prove so much. Why doesn't it prove so much? It just proves that you shouldn't delay something to Yom Tov. But, and there was no way for it to end naturally. But if naturally they got engaged, and it takes time to get the wedding ready, and the first time you can have the most first convenient time to have the wedding is on Chol Moed. Who says that's wrong? How do you see? Says here the Gemara says Ella midemiyatir kra. It's the language of the pasuk. It's not just the content of what happened, but it's the way that the psukim describe it, the way the psukim present it. How so? Mechti. Where it says, take a look. Ksiv arbala sayom. It says it was 14 days. Shiva Sarah Shiva Sarah Lamali. Why is the Pasuk in Malachim doing math for me? Yes, we know, in terms of math in Tanakh, there is a very famous mathematical reference a little bit earlier in Sefer Malachim, and that is the place where the Tanakh gives you the value of pi is a paragraph or two earlier. Right? Because the Psukim described there was a circular basin that Shlomo Malach had built for the basin. In the preceding parak, when they go through the Bina Habayis, I tell you, the circular basin had a diameter of 10, and it had a, what's it called? And a circumference of 30. So that's where the Psukim say that pi is 3. The famous Be'er Agra, it points out that the Pasuk says that the line, or the circumference is a kav, the line. If I remember correctly, it's written with a hey that's not pronounced a kriy or ksiv. So the Gaon points out if you take the ratio of the ksiv over the kriy, with and without the hey, you multiply it by 3, you get an incredibly accurate approximation. Fine. So that's the letter, that's what's not being said explicitly. It's the difference between the ratio of the ksiv to the kri. Okay, so there the psukim spell it out. That's more advanced mathematics. Slightly more advanced mathematics. But the psukim don't have to tell me that 7 plus 7 is 14. That's obvious. That's very obvious. So the Gemara says, why do you have to say 7 days, another 7 days, for a total of 14 days? I could figure that out on my own. It seems unnecessary. So may the miyata krav, and the fact that the pasuk has added language, shema mino, hani luchud, v'hani luchud. Oh, the point of stressing that is to say, not just a half dork out was 14 days, but bedavka was 7 and 7. It had to be separate. So the yit, I already know that Shlomo Melech did it b'chavana, but that would only indicate that you can't push it off. The fact that the psukim stress it further tells me that it can't overlap at all. So that is when all the dust settles, with or without pi, when all the dust settles, L'maisa, the Bavli says, there's a principle of Ein, we have the first sheet in the Gemara, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. That was the Gemara's first explanation of again, we had a Mishnah. We had a Mishnah that Ein Osim Nashim B'Moed, Kedeshi Simcha Yilo. The first explanation is, because Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, that's why you can't get married in a Chol Moed. Who says Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha? So the Bavli says, Shlomo HaMelech teaches us that. The Pesukim Melachim teach us that they had to schedule the Chanukas HaMikdash properly so it would not Chalila overlap with Yom Tov. Is there any other source? We're going to start to explore Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. I should mention, the Gemara does have other reasons also. Our focus is going to be primarily Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. It gives other reasons too over the course of Chesed HaBeis for why you can't get married. Maybe there's a specific drasha b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha. There's a specific drasha that you can't mix the simcha of getting married with the simcha of yantiv. Or the Gemara says maybe it's because you're going to end up being busy over Chol Moed making a wedding. You're going to be able to focus on the tircha of making the wedding. Or the fourth reason the Gemara gives is people are going to delay getting married. If we allow you to get married on Chol Moed, it's such a convenient time, everyone's off from work. So people who could have gotten married Chanukah time, or Purim time, are going to wait till Pesach. People who could have gotten married over the summer are going to wait till Sukkot. Bittul Pir V'Rivya. Sometimes you need to push off a wedding. It takes time to organize everything, to find an apartment, to get a hall. Huh? And sometimes just practical considerations, you know, when the family is going to be in the right part of the globe. But to wantonly just push it off because for a couple of months, that's takanah, it's bittul pir v'rivya. So the Gemara says a host of reasons, for a host of ways to understand ein nosim nashim b'moed, this Mishnah, that you can't get married on Chol Moed. For reason number one, is Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Because you can't have an overlap of Simchas Yantiv with some other Simcha, namely, in this case, the Simcha of getting married. And again, the Makar and the Bavli was from which other Simcha? Makar and Bavli was? Chanukah is Beis HaMikdash. Gevaldik. Is there any other Makar? Left half the room. Any other Makar? 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 Yeah? Lavan, the Zayda, the Elter Zayda, our great grandfather. Take a look in Tosfos. Lefi Shem Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Tosfos on Chesem and Beis. Gzeres Hakasim. Who said Shem Arvin Simcha B'Simcha? The pasuk. Kedar Shlakaman. Karat Shlomo. Tosfos says Chesem and Beis. We're going to darshan later on. That's someone else. From the pesukim by Shlomo Hamelach, the Shem Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Ubi Yerushalmi darshan lichziv Malei Shavua Tosfos. Yerushalmi says, no, a different source. Lavan says to Yaakov Avinu, Malei Shavua Zos. When does Lavan say that to Yaakov? After he married, he finds out that he married Leah, the switcheroo. So he says, where's Rachel? So he says, Yeah, Lavan says to Yaakov, Male Shavu Azos. How do you translate that, by the way, those three words?
This week is complete.
Male, complete, first complete what? Shavu Azos. How do you translate Shavu Azos?
7 years.
I also would have translated this week. However, when we talk about Sfira Sa'omer, we talk about 7 weeks. How does the Torah say 7 weeks? Shiva Shavuos Tisperlach. Shiva, that's Lashon Zachar. Shavua, a week, is Lashon Zachar. Why say Malay Shavua Zos, not Malay Shavua Zeh? Because Shavua Zos doesn't mean this week. It means the week, it's not Shavua Zos, it's Shavua Zos, the week of this one. First complete this woman's week. Malay Shavua Zos. First complete the week of this woman. Complete the week of Leah. And then you'll marry Rachel. And that's what Yerushalmi says. I mean, this week is Miyuchad for Leah. This is Leah's week. It's Shavua Zos. It's her week. After her week, then you can move on to marry someone else. But to marry Rachel during Shavua Zos, during the week of this woman, that would be a problem of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha. The Simcha. Interesting. So there are two different psukim. The Balvi has a makar, a ma'arv simcha from psukim, say from Malachim. And the Yerushalmi has a makar for a ma'arv simcha from the psukim in Chumash Bereishis. Anything strike you about that? Thinking about the Balvi chose one pasuk, Yerushalmi chose a different pasuk, yeah?
Why wouldn't the Balvi?
Aron Leib? Yeah, why didn't Bavi quote? Why should we quote the pasuk in Bereishis? I want to know, why didn't the Bavi also quote the pasuk in Lavan? Why would that be preferable? As Tosfos pointed out, test. You can only say why didn't you choose X if X is preferable to what you actually chose? So why would it have been preferable? Why would the pasuk by Lavan be better than the pasuk of Shlomo?
Because it shows that it's not just you can't push it off to Lavan.
Oh, okay, good. Good, good. That's a very good point. Right? That's a very sharp point. Right? It's not delaying until. Yeah, good.
It's also from the Torah, not from
Chumash. Yeah, it's also from Chumash. We want to darshan deem deraisa from the Pesukim in Chumash. A pasuk in the Gemara says in Bava Kama and elsewhere, divrei Torah midivrei kabbalah lo yalfinam. We don't learn deem deraisa from a pasuk in Navi or a pasuk in Ksuvim. So I can't be mechadish a new din daraisa based on a pasuk in Neviim and Ksuvim. I'm mechadish a new din daraisa based on a pasuk in Chumash. So it's obviously much stronger makar for have a pasuk in Chumash. So you're bothered. How come the Yerushalmi found the pasuk in the Chumash? Why didn't the Bavli quote that pasuk also? Talk a good question. What do you think? What would you say? Different proofs. Okay. What? Why would you think the Bavli would have found Shlomo to be superior? No, because Lavan is not usually our model for halachically appropriate behavior. As a matter of fact, not only Lavan in general, what's he doing right here? This is in the midst of his finagling, his machinations, and his dishonesty. So, all of a sudden, Lavan gets so frum. He strokes the bard, he pulls on his payas, and tucks his tzitzis. Now you're getting all frum on me. Narishkeit. Lavan is a scoundrel. Taka, when you realize that, when Ari Leib asks us, why didn't Yerushalmi say like, why didn't the Bavi say Yerushalmi? And then he ties to Taka, why not? And he realizes because Lavan is not such a gevalt like a mucker. And Taka have to wonder, what was Yerushalmi's proof? Right, what was Yerushalmi thinking? I understand. Taka have to wonder, how is Lavan a mucker at all? How is Lavan a mucker at all? What do you say, Elisha?
Yaakov accepted it.
Yaakov accepted it. Okay. We don't actually hear what Yaakov says. So it takes two to tango. Yaakov may not have accepted Lavan's lumdus, but he didn't really have much of a choice because he wasn't going to just elope with Rachel. He wanted to marry Rachel with her father's permission. So you're right. It could be Yaakov accepts it. Okay. It could be Yaakov accepts it. But on the other hand, maybe not, but take that. You're saying good. Say better. not just Yaakov, who else accepts it? Right? It's recorded in the Chumash. Ramban, I think, makes this point. You have to recognize that once you recognize, once you think about it, it's self-evident. The vast majority of what happens historically during the period of the Tanakh is not recorded in the Tanakh. The Tanakh is historically accurate, but it is not a history book. There's a difference. The Tanakh records true stories, but it doesn't tell you every true story that happened during that time period. As an aside, no historian tells you every true story that happened during a particular time period, because that's impossible. Every historian is involved in Melechus Borer. Every historian is selecting only particular narratives narrative is a bad term because that has other connotations now. That every historian is picking particular stories and particular aspects of stories to tell. But the Tanakh is not interested in teaching history. The Tanakh is, and this is arguably, we may have spoken about this before, Yom Tov, arguably the most important, perhaps the most important Gemara in terms of Derech HaLimud in Tanakh. The Gemara Megillah, I believe, is Daf Yedalad. The Gemara says that a vast, even in terms of Nevuahs that were said during the 1,000 years of Jewish prophecy from Moshe to Malachi, the Gemara says the vast majority of Nevuahs that were said are not recorded in Tanakh. The vast majority of Nevi'im aren't even named in the Tanakh. The Gemara says there may have been as many as over 1 million Nevi'im from Moshe to Malachi. We know 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. What happened to everything else? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the vast majority of Nevuah were messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to that generation, to that audience. It was significant for that audience to know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told that audience with that Navi. But it's not something of eternal significance. The Gemara says, Nevuah shelo hotzrich l'chaludaros lo nechtava. Nevuah that's not needed for all the generations doesn't make it into the Tanakh. It was said, and that's it. But Nevuah shelo hotzrich l'chaludaros nechtava. Nevuahs that are relevant for all times are the Nevuahs that make it into the Tanakh. That's a very, very, very significant yisod, a very significant tool. In terms of learning Tanakh, it means every line in the Tanakh has meaning for me and you. So much so that the Ralbag, one of the Rishonim that's more famous to us for his work in Tanakh and in Jewish philosophy, Rabbi Levi Bar Gershom, so the Ralbag in his Pirush on Nevi'im and Ksuvim, he has running commentary pasuk by pasuk, but every parak or two or three, he'll stop and say, okay, what are the eternal lessons that we have learned from the last couple of prakim? What are the to'alios? What's useful to us? What's the give me a to'alos. Let's say at the end of Rus, he has a pasuk by pasuk Pirush on Rus, and then at the end he says, okay, we have 16 to'alios that emerge from learning Megillas Rus. 16 eternal lessons. Some are halacha, some are hashkafa, some are practical knowledge. But that's all based on that Gemara Megillah. Taf Yedalad. Nevuah shelo hotzrich l'chaludaros lo nechtava. Nevuah shelo hotzrich l'chaludaros nechtava. The only things that appear in Tanakh are things that are of eternal significance. I believe the Ramban points out in one place that it means that most events also don't appear in the Chumash. And it means, you know, you think about how many, even the people from whom you hear the most in Chumash, Avram, Yosef, Moshe, probably hear more about their lives than anyone else in Chumash. Right? Sach HaKol, how many words do you hear out of the mouth of Avram Avinu over the course of Chumash? A couple hundred maybe? Okay, I can't. Maybe a couple of thousand, maybe a couple of thousand. How many words do you hear out of the mouth of Yosef? Also, a couple hundred? Moshe, okay, more, you have, but even that, each of those three people lived over a century. Avraham Avinu lived close to two centuries. He must have said millions of words over his lifetime. A tiny fraction of a percentage point makes it into the Chumash. And Mikolshkein, Yitzchak. Mikolshkein, Aaron. Nisanel Ben Sur had a lot to say. We know very little about Nisanel Ben Sur. Nachshon Aminadav. How much do we know in the Chorosh of Nachshon Aminadav? Precious little. Not because the only thing he did in his life was bring the first set of karbanos for the Miluim. Of course he did many, many, many. If he was Nasi first Shevet Yehuda, he must have done very important things for many, many years. But it was Lo Hutzul Hodaros. So we only hear, the Torah only gives us a very narrow sliver of what was said and what happened, even within a conversation. You know, the conversation, it's not as though in the days of the Tanakh, people had, you know, 10-word conversations. They had conversations, but the Chumash doesn't record, even when it's recording a conversation, it only gives us, the Ramban points out, the conversation in the Chumash didn't all happen in Hebrew. You think when Moshe spoke to Paro, they were talking in Hebrew? Of course not. But the Tanakh translates it. So the Tanakh also abridges kefi what we need to hear. Kadosh Baruch Hu dictates to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the part of the conversation you're going to record. And that is why that's the answer to your kasha. How could it be? How do you understand the Yerushalmi? That what? That Lavan? We're learning from Lavan. Or because Lavan held Malaysia as those, we passed. Machlek is Bavi Yerushalmi, whether we can pass it like Lavan or not? Of course not. But we presume what the Yerushalmi is saying is along the lines of what you were saying before. Lavan did many things that were highly inappropriate. But the fact that the Torah records the way Lavan pushed back, so the Amoram, the Yerushalmi, understood that was written because there's a nugget of truth in that. It is true that in such a situation you should not marry a second wife during the Shiva Zeman Mishnah of a first wife. Okay. So what do we have? What do we have so far? We have a Mishnah. And then, Einosim Nashim B'mor. The Gemara wants to know basically my time up. What's the reason? And the Gemara gives several reasons. 1, 2, 3, 4. Apipash, the Gemara gives 4 reasons. The big one is Eim Arvim. Simcha v'simcha. The Gemara gives also other reasons. Also, Bechagecha below Be'ishtecha. Specifically, you can't get a special drush, you can't get married on Yom Tov, or Mipnei HaTorach, that we're worried that you're going to be busy in Chol Moed with, you'll do Dvar Masur in Chol Moed to prepare for the wedding, or Bitol Piriverit. You're going to push off a wedding if you have the ability to do it on Chol Moed. Similar to the fact that you can't take a haircut on Chol Moed. The Mishnah says why? The Mishnah implies in the third paragraph of my cotton, can't take a haircut Chol Moed, because if you were allowed to take a haircut Chol Moed, you wouldn't make sure to get a haircut beforehand. People would come into before Yom Tov is very busy. Chol Moed have a lot of time. If you're allowed to get a haircut Chol Moed, I'll wait, I'll push up to Chol Moed. Terrible. You're gonna come into the first day of Yom Tov looking like a schlump. So Chazal said, don't get married, don't you not take a haircut Chol Moed, so you have to take a haircut before it. So similar, the fourth reason is we let you get married on Chol Moed, you're going to push it off until Chol Moed. Okay. Tov. And then specifically, Ein Ma'ariv, we're going to focus on Ein Ma'ariv v'simcha v'simcha. And what do we see about Ein Ma'ariv v'simcha v'simcha? Number one, the mocker. The mocker is either Shlomo, that's what the Bavli has, or Lavan. That's what Yerushalmi has. Okay. What else do we want to know about Ein Ma'ariv v'simcha v'simcha? Tosfos also wants to know not only where does it come from, but why is it true? The Bira Dvar. What does it mean? What's a Geter Adin? Ein Ma'ariv v'simcha v'simcha? I can't mix simchas. What does that mean? Why does it make sense? The Tosfos goes on to say, V'tam nira k'tzas. I could explain it a little bit. It's exeris akasiv, as he said at the beginning. The pasuk says you can't. But I could be masber a little bit. There is a svar bedaver, a beer kitsas. And what is that beer katzas? Kemo shein osim mitzos chavilos chavilos. Just like the Gemara in Brachas and Sota, I believe, talks about not bundling your mitzvahs. You shouldn't bundle your mitzvahs. Meaning, the Gemara says it's not right. Let's say several different couples show up to Beis Hamikdash on the same day for the procedure of Hashkoa Sota. So it would be more efficient if you line them all up and you do an assembly line style. And we'll line them all up and have a whole series of cups. And then a number of years ago, Chanoch Teller came to speak in MTA. He spoke in Lamport Auditorium. Chanoch Teller is famous for many things. He's a fantastic storyteller. He writes many books. He enjoys his eclectic vocabulary, and he has 20 children. So he described when he was speaking in Lamport and how he serves breakfast. So he says, you line up all the bowls, and then you take a box of, or several boxes of cornflakes, you know, fill one, fill each bowl, and then line up the spoons, assembly line style. It's more efficient that way. I ain't cheaper by the dozen. So the Gemara says it would be tempting to do that for mitzvahs also. You have several different couples show up to Ezrish the same day for Ashkoa Sota. Let's line them up and we'll do a assembly line style. Give each one a klicheres, pour Maim Chaim to each one. You have the sofer writes all the klafim. And that would be very efficient. The Gemara says, but that's wrong. Ein osim mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. You shouldn't do mitzvahs in an assembly line fashion. Why? The Ba'inan says Tosis, Shelibo ponil mitzvah achas. V'lo yifana atzmahimena. You need to be focused. You need to be focused on the mitzvah at hand. If you multitask, Tosis says, if you multitask, you end up being less focused on any one thing. It's incredibly rare that people can truly multitask. You can be truly, fully focused on multiple things simultaneously. Almost invariably, psychologists who study multitasking discover that almost invariably what's actually happening is either you're bouncing back and forth and you're not fully in any one item. And we all know that to be true. You're trying to do a lot of things at the same time. Rarely are you giving full focus to any one of those items. You're certainly not giving full focus to all of those items. So it's a taisus. Taisus ends that chime the Gemara. Why? Because you're not going to be fully focused. You need to be fully present in the moment. The term in vogue, the term du jour, will be mindfulness. You need to be all in what's happening right in front of you right now. You're doing a mitzvah, you need to be fully in the mitzvah. We'll get to the other mitzvah later. But if you're constantly bouncing back and forth between this Hashkoa Sota, the Hashkoa Sota, you're not all in. The Tosa says, it's similar here. V'chein simcha b'simcha, yelibo panoi b'simcha. It sounds like he's saying it's not midin, enos mitzvos chavilos chavilos, it says tam k'tzas. It's based on the pasuk. But the logic is similar to the logic of Enimos and Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos. Kishem that we don't want you to line up mitzvahs and do them a seven-line style. We don't want you to multitask mitzvahs because then you're not going to be as fully into any one mitzvah. So too, if you have overlapping smachos, overlapping simchas, as you say in Yiddish, or overlapping smachos, as you say in Hebrew, if you have simchas nisu and coinciding with simchas haregel, so you're not going to be one simcha or the other, or both, will suffer. This one will suffer, that one will suffer, something's going to suffer. And just to unpack Tosis a little bit, When Tosis says that the beer of Ein Ma'ar v'Simcha v'Simcha, again, this Tosis is talking specifically about the first reason, Ein Ma'ar v'Simcha v'Simcha. It says the beer Kitzas is Libo Panin l'Simcha. So just thinking about the other reasons were more technical.
Either you're going to delay the wedding. Okay, nothing to do with simcha at all.
Nothing to do with simcha at all.
Or if they have Torah, it's sort of more tactical. You may do things on Yontif
that will take you away. Or even
Maniach Simchas Harega, Oseg B'Simchas Ishta, it sounds like you're just going to stop. You're not going to be Chogi.
Here, Tosfos is something more subtle. It's going to be a qualitative bitul of Simchas Yontif. You might might multitask. You might try to have Simchas Yontif and Simcha of the wedding simultaneously. But you're not going to, even if you manage to do both, you're not going to do either. You're not going to do both fully. Either the Simcha of you and your wife will suffer at least somewhat, or the Simcha of Yontif will suffer at least somewhat. So it's a violation of Simchas Harega. And that's why I said when we got started, this is one of the sugyas of Simchas Yontif. Specifically, if you assume that Eim Arvin Simcha, the reason is Eim Arvin Simcha is Simcha. So this is really a bitul of Simchas Yontif, at least a bitul lachatzon, a partial bitul of Simchas Yontif, which is why, as I said at the beginning, really this should have appeared in Maseches Beitza. Why is it Moed Katan? It's not Din Chol Moed. Eim Arvin Simcha is Din Yontif. So why is it Moed Katan? Because on Shabbos and Yontif, you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos either. And there's no mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. That's a Din Rabbanan, a Gezeira Shema Yichto. So Shabbos and Yontif, you can't get married anyhow, like many other events that are often recorded. Just like financial transactions can't happen on Shabbos and Yontif, Gezeira Shema Yichto. You also can't get married because marriage is something that's recorded and documented. But on Chol Moed, we do allow you to go shopping on Chol Moed. There are limitations, but you're allowed to shop with Torah Chamoed. So we don't have the full formal takana of Gezeira Shema Yichto. So you should have said, what's wrong with getting married in Chol Moed? I want to be married now. I don't want to just be married next week. I said, Torah Chamoed. I want to get married now. So what's wrong? The answer is no. Ironically, while on getting married on Shabbos is only an Issa Rabbanan, the Gezeira Shema Yichto, getting married in Chol Moed might be a violation of a daraisa, Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, if you're being pogame in the Simchas Yontif, which applies both on Yontif and on Chol HaMoed. Yeah. But then we come to, you might say, okay, this is all very nice. Why is this relevant? Okay, so there's a din, you can't get married. The din, you can't get married on Yontif. Okay, and there are three or four approaches in Yamarad. And the Gemara seems to be focusing on Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Okay. And we saw a Makar and a Bavi, a Makar Yishami, a Hezber in the Din. Okay, it's a Bitul HaChatzon in the Simchas Yontif. All very nice. What does this have to do with Simchas Torah?
I have a separate question.
So maybe we circle back to that afterwards? Yeah. So what does it have to do with Simchas Torah? So the answer lies in the bottom thesis on Chesem Beis. Tosfos begins by working through the different how each of, well, we're not going to focus on that now, in Parshanut, how each of these pshatim would explain the Mishnah of Pnesha Simcha Hilo. Okay, we'll leave out the Parshanut for now. Certainly, Eimar v'Simcha v'Simcha, understand. But Pnesha Simcha Hilo, since getting married is such a Simcha, it's going to take away from the Simcha of Yom Tov. The Parshanut of the Lashon HaMishnah. Then Tosfos ends with a nafka mina la halacha. Tosfos wants to know, okay, so we have this din of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Halacha lamaisa, how does it work? So I know the Mishnah says you can't get married. I can't get married on Chol Moed. How about a bris? How about a bar mitzvah? Not a bar mitzvah. How about a bris? How about a pina ben? What can I do on? Am I allowed? You're actually interested in Shiloh. Can you make a Suda's Bar Mitzvah from Chol Moed? Tosfos, they don't seem like they had such big Suda's Bar Mitzvah. They talk about Mila and Pinyin HaBen. Mila and Pinyin HaBen. Can you make a bris on Chol Moed? Can you make a Pinyin HaBen on Chol Moed? Let's take a look. Suda's Bris Mila. Four lines at the bottom of the last Tosfos in Chesed Beis. Bris you want to make Chol Moed. Number one, Lekha Simcha. It's not so exciting. Bris is very exciting, yes, but the Gemara Ksuba says that the it's a muted, somewhat mitigated simcha because it's sara diyanuka. The Gemara in Ksuba says that the special nusach of a zimun for a wedding or for a shavu bracha, shah simcha b'ma'ono, we don't say it on at a bris because there's simcha, but there's also that it's not we're b'simcha, but the baby seems like he's a little uncomfortable, so that mutes the simcha somewhat. The isla itzari liyanuk. As a matter of fact, so the Gemara says that's why you don't say shah simcha b'ma'ono benching. The machlok is Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. If you say a shechiyanu at a bris or not. Svarim make a shechiyanu bris, Ashkenazim do not. The last sugya in Pesachim, Kufchaf Alf on the days, talks about the shechiyanu pidin haben. So Svarim assume that's true for a bris also. Ashkenazim say no. The Gemara Ksuba said Sarah Dianuka, the Gemara that toasts your quoted. Sarah Dianuka, that's the question. The Gemara is talking about benching, questions are also relevant to shechiyanu. So Tosis thinks, now as we have to bench, it's also relevant to Ein Ma'arv and Simcha B'Simcha. As a whole, a bris is a lower level because it's Simcha and Tzar mixed together. Number two, Zman HaKavua. You have to have Mila B'Shmini. There's a set time for it. The Pinya Ben, Tzarech Iyan and Mutter Lasses B'Moed. So it says, okay, you told me Zman HaKavua. But what if there is a Zman Kavua for Pinya Ben also on day number 31? Day number 30, but counting the day of the birth is day one. The baby is born on Monday, so the bris is going to be the following Monday, it's day 8. And the Pinya Ben is going to be 4 weeks after the birth plus 2 days. So the baby is born on Monday, so that means 4 weeks later, Monday is day 29. So the Pinya Ben is going to be on Wednesday, day 31. So 3 days after the day of the birth, so it's like the bris is 7 days after the day of the birth, on day number 8. So you want to do it, so we nowadays we have a much easier time doing a Pinya Ben on time, because we have access to modern transportation. There are many large communities, and even if you're in a small community, we have access to modern transportation, so a Kohen could travel from a couple hundred miles away and make it in time. But if you live before modern transportation, you live in a little derfel, and maybe months before you, maybe years before you see a Kohen. Certainly maybe weeks or months. You're not necessarily going to have a Kohen in your shtetl on Yom Lamed Aleph. So you hope, you try to organize to have a Pinya Ben of Yom Lamed Aleph, but sometimes it's not shaykh, there is no Kohen. So when the Kohen shows up, we'll do the Pinya Ben. Let's say Kohen shows up in Chol Moed. Shows up a Chol Moed, can do a Pinya Ben Shlop Bezmano? Do a Pinya Ben Shlop Bezmano. There's no Tzar Dianuka, and it's not Zman Kavua. Hey, Ach Yehi Mutter, how is a Mutter? The answer could have been in a Hanami, it's not. Tosas, though, was convinced that you are allowed to make a Pinya Ben Chol Moed, even if it ain't Zman Kavua. So Tosas has two answers. The first answer is, Kaimelon Karavashi. We don't paskin in Amarva Simcha B'Simcha. We paskin b'chagem v'lo b'yishtecha. Wow! It's only weddings. That's the drasha. Tosa is assuming these two are two separate answers, and that the difference is b'chagem v'lo b'yishtecha is dafka marriage. Amarva Simcha is clearly not limited to the simcha of marriage. How do you know? Think logically. Because the makar and the bavli is not about a wedding. It's about a different major simcha, the simcha of Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. So Ein Ma'ariv Simcha Simcha is not just weddings, it's simcha in general shouldn't coincide with Chol Moed. External, unrelated simcha. So the first answer Tosafot says is, who says we paskin Ein Ma'ariv Simcha Simcha? Okay. But the second answer is, we do paskin Ein Ma'ariv Simcha Simcha. Odei Shlomar, delo chashivi Simcha B'Simcha, ki im sudas nisuin bilvad. It's only a wedding. It's not a Pinya Ben. What does this mean? It's only a wedding, not Pinya Ben. I mean, it's only a wedding, mamish? It's clearly false because you just told me the original mukkar is not from a wedding, according to the Ba. According to Yerushalmi, the original mukkar is wedding versus wedding. But according to the Ba, the original mukkar of Ein Ma'ariv Simcha is Yantav versus Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. So Tosis cannot mean in their second answer Dafka wedding. So Alpipash is what they mean is, if you go to a wedding, you come out Farshvitzt. It's a full-blown Simcha. Going back to the Tosis from before, Lafi. Yeah, a wedding
on Chol HaMoed is going to distract you from Simchas Yontif. You're not going to be fully focused on Simchas Yontif when you had a wedding. A bris, a pinyan ben is not so
exciting. I mean, it's exciting. It's a beautiful simcha. But people are, and you're not singing and dancing and pounding away, having a full-blown simcha the way you have at Nisuin.
And now we understand. But simcha based on Hanukkah's based on Mikdash was. That was a massive Sudas Mitzvah. That wasn't just like a... They didn't just have a bagels and cream cheese. Or even those of us who make a fleshika suda for a bris, still. They didn't just have, you know, cold cuts and bagels and power for cream cheese. The simcha of Chanukah's HaMikdash, that was a full-blown simcha, like a Sudas Nisuin, or like our Simchas Torah. The way we prop Simchas Torah, it's mamash like a wedding. You're dancing at kafas for an hour or two, mamash, full-blown simcha. Often there are sudas to go with it. Factor of Moshe Sternbach, 1 second. So how do you have Simchas Torah on Yom Tov? Ema Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Now you might say, well, that's an absurd question. That is the Yom Tov. The name of the Yom Tov is Simchas Torah. Except, of course, that's false. The name of Yom Tov is Simchas Torah. We call it Simchas Torah. It's really the second day of Shmini Atzeres. As a matter of fact, you look in the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch, they refer to it as Leil Tishii, the ninth night. It's just the next day. There's this Sveika Dioma of Shmini Atzeres. We call it Simchas Torah because we have the Minhag of HaKafas. You look back in Simen Tav Reish Samach Tes, we'll explore this more next week, it's Minhagim. Marik says, when the Rishonim, he quotes from one of the early Rishonim reads, the Rav Yitzchak Ibn Giyat, that the Rav Hai Gaon is ready, the late Gaonim, in the 900s, around the year 1000, he's talking about these sound like new minhagim to celebrate different ways of celebrating Siyum HaTorah on the last day of Shmini Atzeres. So it's very beautiful minhagim, but the way we do it, we don't just have a majestic march around the bima. The way the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Arizal and the Gra, mamish dancing full force. How is the mutter? It's beautiful, but it should be a violation. Eimar v'simcha v'simcha. So we'll have to explore Eimar v'simcha v'simcha a little more, and we'll have to explore Shmi Atzeres Simcha Torah a little more, and maybe Simcha Zantiv in general, and try to put all these pieces together and figure out what's going on.